tell you what, the blessings of the On Messiah are warm. This is warm. I can't believe it.
But your Christmas jumper does look lovely, Tom.
Oh, thank you. It's been warm.
I get Is it warmer than my mulled wine?
I need to get some ice drink or something.
Right, let me do 10 intros because we're live.
Is it? Oh, yeah, but before you do that, is it warmer? Is that jumper warmer than the burning loins of all the girls that see you in it, man? That's the thing.
That's a good question.
Okay, hello, everyone, and welcome to Nine Inch Charge, and welcome to the second ever Old World Christmas special. So as you can see, if you're watching along, we have got none other than Dan. What have you called yourself? Lord of the Night today.
The Night Man.
What's that in aid of?
Because I've been playing vampire counts in Warmaster.
Ah, nice.
So I've actually been in the old world.
Just a really tiny, tiny version of it.
Very small.
And welcome, Tom.
Hello.
In your Christmas jumper. So there's going to be a very loose format today. The format is going to be, we're going to tell some sort of Christmas related or just funny kind of stories related to our experience in the old world. We're going to talk about the games that we've played recently, myself and Tom. And I've got some facts, some Warhammer facts that we're going to talk about. But they're not as boring as they sound. Some of them are quite funny. So thank you, Goatman999, for joining us. Merry Christmas to you too. All right, let's kick us off. Dan, I think you've got a cracking story.
Yes, well, so when I ran Games Workshop Bar and I lived in a shared house, my housemates sort of discovered this, that I was working in Bath, and I was away for a week. And when I got back, and I have to say, like, they were fantastic. We had a lot of good times, but I went into my room and it was only a box room, and they had filled it with balloons for a start. And then as I got rid of the balloons, they had written on the walls, such incredible writing as, Blood Angels suck and Sigmar is gay. So that is my wonderfully Warhammer related story for today.
Well, you heard it here first. Sigmar's been outed.
Yeah. So not too long a story for me. So you can, if your nice ones now.
My nice ones. I didn't have one. Mine is a Christmas related.
Oh.
And it's about 20 years old, I would say. It's in the time of Warhammer Fantasy Battles. I don't know if it's 5th or 6th edition. Probably 6th edition. My mum said to me, like, oh, what do you want for Christmas? And of course, I said Warhammer.
Obviously.
And she was like, well, what Warhammer do you want? And I was like, oh, I don't really know. And I had to think about it. And I said, oh, I want some elves or something. Obviously, probably what else? And then she went to the shop and they were like, oh, well, she went to Antics in Plymouth upstairs.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, oh, there's a catalogue here of all the stuff that Games Workshop do, and you can get the catalogue and then you can pick. So she picked up a catalogue and went to walk out, and they said, oh, no, you've got to buy that catalogue. Because at that time, the Games Workshop catalogue was a product.
Yeah, it was that big, thick one, wasn't it? With all the...
Yeah, which was weird. And my mum was just having absolutely none of it. I think she felt like she just walked into Argos and they were trying to charge her for the Argos book. And she was like, you want me to buy a book to tell me what things I need to buy for my son for Christmas? No, I'm not paying for it. And she just walked out.
But with it?
Yeah. And then she come home and she was like, right, here's the catalogue, you choose what you want for Christmas out of the catalogue. And I didn't find out until some time later, but in fairness, she did go back and buy the models that I wanted from Antics, so they did make a sale off of it. But also she did steal a product because she thought that it wasn't worth paying for, which is never the case with anything with Citadel on it, is it, Dan? Of course.
Do you think I could withhold my tax because I don't think the current government's worth paying for?
Well, what are you going to make them do? Like, you can only have my tax money if you spend it on Warhammer
World access. I want HS2 running from HS3 running from Bristol into Warhammer World, or I'm not paying.
Yeah, and it's got to have like a Warhammer wrapping, a Warhammer livery, like the Warhammer tram does in Nottingham.
Yeah. Stephen Mucker, Merry Christmas to you, dude. He's just said nothing more Games Workshop than charging you to spend money. That is so true.
Yeah, I think that. And the one that I really
nothing more Games Workshop fanboy than paying to spend money.
I can remember because everybody's spilled over a pot of Nolan oil or something like that, haven't they? And then instead of fixing the bottles or making dropper bottles, what have you, they brought out that bottle hold, that three bottle holder, didn't they? Yeah, one of those that you have. It's brilliant that if we won't fix the bottles, we'll create a new product that you have to buy.
I actually use it all the time, but it's disappointingly it's not got a Citadel logo on it. I think that they missed out there.
Paint one on.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
They could come up with a new set of brushes just for that.
Yeah. Tomo, has Tomo got a story?
I do have a story. I think it's a good insight as to what our group's like. I remember, I think it's like my third, maybe fourth year working for Sainsbury's, and we just finished a horrendous night shift. And we all got home, and you messaged us, Mr. Jolly, and we're just like, oh, I'm going up to a Cardiff Firestorm Games, but it was in his old location for the day. And we're just like, yeah, let's barrel into the old drop pod and fire our way down into Wales. And that was it. We just like, me and Dan were both hanging, ready to play some games. It was freezing cold. We'd just gotten into Warmer Hordes and War Machine, which that was a time. I brought remember we played the box set and then I ended up buying the biggest thing you could get for my guys. And yeah.
Oh, when it was in the old location.
Old location. Yeah. That was sick. That is just like how our hobby group used to run. Like, we'd get home from work, someone would have this brilliant idea of let's drive an hour and a half away to spend a ton of money. And then barrel back in and then go back to work. It's great.
Tom told me this and I don't remember it. I remember the old location being, I think my only memory is that it was freezing.
It was so cold.
To be honest, the location before where they are now was quite cold when you were gaming. I thought you were going to tell about the time we got into Drop Zone Commander.
Oh, that was an one.
And I was basically going to be the like champion of Drop Zone. And it was all fantastic and built a massive army and painted stuff. And it was all great until we played a game. And then we never played it again. One game.
Well, yeah, I mean, at least when you play Warhammer, you've got your army book and your rule book. But that Drop Zone Commander game, we had to play across four or five books and pamphlets and leaflets and websites and all that. It took all day.
Yeah.
And then it just comes down to one dice roll.
It just wasn't refined.
That was when it really cold as well, wasn't it? And I think, like, one of us came home quite ill. That was funny.
That's a very Dan Jolly moment, you know, because I do remember, I can't remember what army you collected for it, but you definitely had the largest army for that game in the country, at least.
UCM, I had massive UCM force because I really got into it, worked out how to do it with the airbrush. I hadn't long been doing airbrushing. I loved it. I sold it and I'm so gutted I sold it because it was cool. But yeah, I did like it.
You became a whore.
Yeah, it was massive. Bringing it back to Christmas and Warhammer, I got the Sickfed. I think it was, Sickfed Warhammer Fantasy Battles Box One Christmas. That's the only starter set that I've been given as a present. It was awesome. It was really cool. I still love those Empire models. And I think if they were still the Empire models, I'd still be buying Empire models today. Rather than all this gump with 101 different bits and bobs to put on. And most importantly of all, no shoes.
No shoes. God,
well, it's a good job Ben isn't with us, isn't it? He'd be going crazy now. I find that it's nice that you got a Warhammer set for Christmas. I find my family kind of get it now. It's taken them a bit of time. I think there was a time I used to talk to them about, I want Warhammer. They get me vouchers now because it's easier. But if I would talk to them about Warhammer, it would be like I was talking in a foreign language.
Oh, mate, there's nothing. There's nothing I find more frustrating than when you just get some random gump. And I know I should be grateful, but don't buy me random gump. I've got very clearly defined hobby. And it's not, you know, there's these stores and they even say Warhammer. You know, I don't want random tat from Boots. I'd rather that people kept their money, to be honest, because it just fills up my house sometimes.
Wow. But I do feel for people, though, because, you know, If you weren't in the hobby and someone started speaking to you about a loon boss on Colossal Cave Squig or something, you would just be like, you might as well just be making up words. Well, they do just make up the words, don't they? There was that thing, what was that meme, the banana that was like a...
Yeah, yeah, banana. And then the Age of Sigmar banana was like a banana gog-off, banana drog-off or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello, Adrian. Thank you for joining the chat, mate. And Merry Christmas to you as well.
Merry Christmas, man.
So we did do a video about the game that me and Tom played, but we didn't really give like a blow by blow account of it. So I thought we might talk through the game that we played. As we've been doing this podcast for, this is episode 30 now, and it was only episode. It took us till episode 29 for us to actually. Play a game of it rather than just talk about it.
Good track record, that is.
Yeah. I think we ran through Army List. I took Wood Elves, of course, and Tom took Dwarves. And we played the pitched battle scenario. And we played 8th edition. And I took just everything I had, really, I think. I think I had some Glade Guards, some Eternal Guards, some Wilded Rangers, some Treekin, a Mage. I think that... Oh, and some Way Watchers.
Yeah, 5 Way Watchers you had.
Yeah.
I had a few bits and bobs, just dwarfs I picked up from my mum's, really. I don't know where the rest of them have gone. They're around in cases somewhere. But yeah, it was...
Were they yours, or has your mum started collecting dwarves, dude?
Probably started collecting them. She keeps on going on about all my Warhammer that's still at hers, and I said, well, get painting it. You do something with it. Better get that Reaver Titan out before she starts to paint that.
Yeah. Well, especially... No, actually, I can't say that on a live podcast.
Have another drink and we might get there.
Yeah.
So you took your dwarves, Tom. I think the only unit I remember that you took was the organ gun.
Oh, the organ gun was on point, wasn't it? All game. Didn't miss a beat, that thing. Blasted some Way Watchers off the table. What, 14 in the first turn?
Great God, that was. So yeah, so in the first turn, what's funny is I read on Azeroth.org how I used to play against dwarves, and I wrote down some tactics or something on that old Wood Elf forum back before there was like social media. And the first thing I wrote was like deploy 30 inches away from war machines and then move up in the first turn and then shoot them there. Mm-hmm. But of course I deployed 24 inches away. So Tom got the first turn and shot off like all my Glade Guard, which was my wizard bunker, and they fled. And took a couple of Glade Guard off with some Way Watchers off for some shooting. And then in my turn, I just moved forward and I rallied with the Glade Guard, but they can't shoot in the turn they rally. So they didn't do anything. And then in Tom's turn two, he opened up the organ gun into the Wildwood Rangers, and then they fled. And the Way Watchers fled. And I think the Eagle got pinged off by a cannon. I did have an Eagle. And I think all I had left then was just some treacling. Tom's cannon had the flaming rune. So that was I think that was game at that point.
Oh man, I'd forgotten how much I love dwarves and the rune building.
Yeah, the rune
building. Oh yes. What edition were you playing?
Eighth.
Oh cool. Yeah.
I found my
it was good to play. It was brutal. It was just like, well, it was just a massacre, really. I think if you could get solid victory or minor victory, well, it would have been whatever the biggest victory for Tom was.
I think five models.
Yeah, something like that. I had seven units in that game that I took. That was my drop count. And across the course of the game, I had seven fleas. So I've been painting on my painting desk is a BSB.
Yeah,
that was my takeaway from the game.
Is that's re-roll?
Yeah.
Morale tests. Yeah,
but it was mental how much I was failing them, considering their leadership eight. I just couldn't do it. You know, for someone who never is able to roll a nine, hence the name, I was on fire.
Yeah.
And then a week later or so, a couple of weeks later, I played Jeremy and we played sixth edition. And that was cool. Sixth edition actually is, playing it is a little bit clunkier. I think the mechanics or the rules weren't quite as smooth, but the game felt more balanced. Like we each were able to take more of an equal part in the game, and there wasn't anything like a Purple Sun just ripping off people's armies and things like that so much. Mm-hmm. So I quite enjoyed that, and I enjoyed the list building a lot because the sixth edition books had a lot more items and a bit more flavor to them. For eighth edition, there was like much more common items and not as many items for yourself. So I enjoyed that, like looking through and. It felt like you could create quite a nuanced list. So I like that. Jeremy was just incredibly unlucky, really. I mean, I had one really strong flank that was like tree man, tree king, and a hero. And I had another flank that only had Way Watchers on it. And he marched his Cold One Knights down that flank towards the Way Watchers. And they've got Killing Blow on a six. Killing Blow's always on a six, isn't it? But basically, Killing Blowed half of them, and then the other wounds, Jeremy just rolled ones for his armor saves, and they took off the whole unit.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was like mental. But his hero did charge, because his hero survived, and his hero had that item that the Dark Elves got in that campaign that was a power fist.
A power.
Yeah.
The Gauntlet of Power, so strength 8. No armor. Well, it doesn't matter that no armor. I mean, what armor could survive strength 8 anyway? I don't know, but it's strength 8, no armor saves. And then he killed them and then come around and went into the Eternal Guard and killed them. But by then the game was done then. I had a solid victory. But yeah, he just got unlucky, really. I think had he been able to capitalize on that a bit more and a bit sooner, he would have just like gone straight through my army. So I was quite lucky, really, that the Way Watchers just rolled really well, because I did have quite a weak flank on that side. But I think that's kind of the story of Jeremy when he plays games. I think he's quite unlucky because he makes all the right decisions and then things don't... Like, when I was looking at it, I was thinking I wouldn't have played any differently to how Jeremy played it.
Hmm.
But it was nice to get a win.
Can I talk about how excited I am about the Old World because of Warmaster? Does that count?
Absolutely.
Of course it counts.
Tell us about your game, Warmaster, then, because you've been playing quite a bit, haven't you?
Yeah, is your plan to make your Warmaster army into 28 mils, but have like the same number of models.
Oh God, that's,
that would be cool, like, wouldn't it?
Have like the super mega horde and play it on. Don't play 6 foot. Play 6 meters.
I have to be honest. Like, and this will change, so you don't need to panic. Because you know what I'm like. Right now, I'm like, I want to engage with Warmaster so that when Old World eventually comes out, I don't just buy loads of it and just swamp myself in miniatures. Because the great thing, what I'm loving is just being re-engaged with the Old World. And it's really classic because so many people now are doing STLs. Mm. And for whatever reason, I know Games Workshop took some steps to get the Warmaster Revolution guys to remove certain artwork from the PDF and stuff recently. But for whatever reason, Games Workshop haven't come in and just clamped down on the STL creators, even though, like, some of them, like the vampires I'm doing, like, there's a necromancer and a little white lord, and they are basically Kemla and Krell. Basically, that's what they look like, you know. And like that wood elf I gave that you had, that hero that just looks exactly like Arloth. You know, it's just so exciting to be back in the Old World and not having to spend ages painting it. But I'm doing vampires at the moment and I'm really enjoying them, but I really want to get my teeth into Empire.
Yeah,
I love the Empire and they're colourful. I just Chris, I asked Chris Goff what his favourite Warhammer Old World army was. And after he'd basically listed them all, except for, like, I think he said it wasn't Chaos or Dwarves or one other. I can't remember what the other one was. His favourite, I think, turned out to be Dark Elves. And then he put But Empire, for me, I think it's because they create such an awesome backdrop to really throw up that fantasy trope, because they're just men. And then there's a freaking hippogriff or griffin or a wizard. You know, you've got a cannon, which we can relate. Well, I say relate with, you know what I mean? And then a battle wizard. And oh, the grittiness. But what's really cool, I'm sorry, I just have to. Check out, this is why Warmaster wins. 3D printed watchtower wizard's tower.
No way, that looks just like the Games Workshop one.
Yeah
that they used to do.
Awesome, isn't it? And Tom's got a little castle thing. So I've been going a bit mad. I've printed, well, Tom's got the rest of his 2000 point Bretonian army is all done. 2,000 point ogre army for Henry. 2,000 points. I've did the next 1,000 points for Ben Chambers' dwarves, and I'm working on the next 1,000 points to get my vampires to 2,000 points.
Nice.
But the games have been fun. Although
you're making me want to paint mine up. The point for me is the only thing that's stopping me is I've just seen that there's a Warhammer Fantasy Battles 8th edition tournament in March in Cardiff.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I'm thinking if I can, I need to paint up some Wild Riders and some Sisters of the Thorn, but then I'll be good to go. I'll have everything that I would want. I've written my tournament list. And I'd have everything then that I would want to play. So I kind of want to keep pushing on and finish this army off and get everything in it. But maybe I'll do something like, if I paint a unit of 28 mil wood elves, I'll paint a unit of 10 mil wood elves, because I don't think the 10 mil ones will take nearly as long, especially with contrast now.
Oh, that's so sick. Yeah.
Wow, he is very cool, isn't he? So Stephen Mercer there didn't realize how much I wanted tiny terrain.
Yes, man. Yeah, that's where I'm. Oh, I'll tell you, wait, it gets serious now. It's a tiny house. So, you know, obviously you have to buy the STLs and the printer if you've not got one, but it's just so good because I've just got them now all sat in the cloud and I can just get them out, print them off. Yeah, and what's been really interesting, we're gradually getting all the rules in. It was hilarious. The first game I played against Ben, I realised that in essence, I just made the rules up from when I used to play it, because I just missed loads of it. Then we played again, and we remembered a few more, but still forgot things like, so if you're on a hill, if you're upslope of an attacking enemy, you count as defended. So, and Warmaster's really straightforward. So if you're in the open, you're hit on a 4. If you're defended, you're hit on a 5. And if you're fortified, you're hit on a 6. And that's it. So like Ben's cannons and stuff were up hills and such like. So he should have been getting a bit more of a bonus. But the undead still raise dead. You know, they really, even though you've got quite a small number of units, they've really got the feel, the theme of the army. So I think if you really like that nuanced, like this magic item with that item and that item, then it's probably not the game that you'd want, because it's not got that level of detail in it. But it gives you a simple rules hard to master way of just getting back into the old world and playing it, which is so exciting. And also you can just do the terrain so quickly. And like Ben and I have been playing on a green board with a few hills, a little wood, token watchtower. It just feels like fantasy.
Can you print those buildings to 28 mils so we can play more time?
I probably would struggle on my printer, but Ben's got the Saturn too with the massive build plate, so sure he could.
That, I just looked at that little house and I thought that looked like an empire house, and that made me think, oh.
The thing
about Mordheim is it just takes a huge amount of terrain, doesn't it?
Yeah. I agree, Pat. Yeah, it is cool.
Does the army fall apart when you kill the necromancer like it does in fantasy? Does stuff start falling away and dying?
No. But basically, once you start nobbling the heroes, which is quite hard to do because of the way they work in Warmaster, the army sort of stops anyway, because you need your heroes to command your forces around. But that essentially they're just a token on the board unless they actually join a unit, and that's when they can be threatened more so. That's very simplistic, but that's,
I can remember Mike Colpin used to have undead in Warhammer Fantasy, and I never played them before, and he explained the mechanic of having to kill the vampire lord. And then I went into combat against the vampire lord, and he just absolutely decimated everything I threw at him. I just kind of slowboard my army in one unit at a time, and without fail, one unit at a time, he just broke them and absolutely destroyed them. And I can remember thinking, how on earth did this vampire lord become so powerful, like inside his unit? But I suppose maybe he was in Blood Knights or something. I can't remember. And they were pretty good, weren't they?
I don't know if this will show up, and then I'll stop going on about Warmaster, but this is what I was talking about Kemla and Kel. You can't really see it.
Yeah. We'll put some pictures up on the socials so people can see. Well, I'm pleased you've dipped your toe in. You're going to have to get your high elves together, because one of the things that I want to do is I think we need to have a grudge match, which is high elves, your high elves versus Tom's dwarves. And I'd like to do a triumph and treachery between all the three elven races, you, me and Jeremy, and see who comes out victorious.
The irony there is Tom is the one that owns the triumph and treachery rules.
Yeah.
So he can come, but he's not allowed to play.
You can recruit my dwarves.
I don't need no dwarves. Well,
I think isn't there gold involved in Triumph and Treachery? Yeah, and the dwarves can supply the gold.
Yeah.
That's what we'll do.
Did you have some Warhammer facts you wanted to do before we wrap up?
Yeah, I've got some Warhammer facts. I think I've got 4 or 5, something like that. Okay, so fact Fact number one. This is quite a good one. I enjoyed this one. Anarion the Defender, the first Phoenix King of Ulthuan and wielder of the Sword of Cain, slew four greater demons, one dedicated to each of the Chaos Gods, in a single apocalyptic battle. Though he eventually died from the wounds he sustained in the act, we reckon that's pretty good going. Thousands of years later, legendary slayer Gotrek Gernison did the same because no dwarf was going to fail at something an elf managed to do. Gotrek also pointed out that he didn't have a dragon helping him, so he was clearly better.
Yeah, Gotrek's a legend.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't realise, just obviously he's in Age of Sigmar, he's incredible on the tabletop, as we found out. But I didn't realise how good he was, because you think Anarion with the Sword of Cain on a dragon must be the absolute pinnacle of what of any, you know, fighter that the old world has ever seen throughout its entire history. And then Gotrek just comes and does it on one of his many adventures, just adds it to the list.
Well, he has got one of the legendary axes that were wielded by the Dwarven God himself, which gives him a bit of a boost.
Yeah.
Although he hasn't got it anymore. But the best thing recently about Gotrek is the fact that he goes into the Mortal Realms. He's really angry and peed off because the old world's destroyed, and really grumbly until he sees the size of the monsters in the Mortal Realms. And then he's like, this is awesome.
What I like about him is what we were talking about earlier about this Warhammer gobbledygook, is that he just calls all that out, where like there's an Achillean Alapex and he's just like, that's a shark.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, that is true.
Before I move on to the next one, Tommy Grimboot has just asked, what would be your perfect starter box for the old world? What do we reckon?
Empire versus Orcs. That'd be a good one. That'd be solid.
I think they might do Bretonnia versus Orcs, because that was the very first thing that they showed, and the setting is all based around Lúin Orcslayer fighting the Orcs. But that wouldn't... I don't know if that would be my perfect starter box.
Yours would just high elf, Wood Elves versus Wood Elves.
With and the terrain that was in there would actually just be tree men.
I think, yeah, they could.
DR. They've got, hello, DR. They've got, that's, Merry Christmas to you. He's put reboot boxes of old. So, yeah, that would be sweet.
That's a good shout.
Like the Empire and the Orcs, like, say, Bretonnians and Lizard Men.
I'd like to see a new race in the starter box. So, Cathay or Kislev, and then anything else. But I think it would be cool.
Kislev,
if they released it and it had something brand new that we'd never seen before. If it had, because from the artwork, they were talking about doing artwork and drawing old models, and it looks like some of those old kits are back in production. And as excited as I am, you know, if they did Bretonnia versus Tomb Kings, I think people would get excited. But I would like to see something brand new, I think would be my pick. But I think it might be Bretonnia versus Orcs because of the setting.
I'd love it to be Orcs, because I feel like Warhammer Fantasy Orcs are very distinct. Like, there are Orcs in lots of fantasy settings, but the style of the Warhammer Fantasy Orc is quite distinct, and I think it really has a lot of old world about it. And then clearly the Empire and Bayer. Yeah, I completely agree with Tom. Is right. It needs to be Empire and Orcs.
Pat says Sartosa versus Nippon.
That's a brilliant idea.
That'd be cool.
Oh, Stephen Matthews said you wouldn't want to play elves. Do you mean you wouldn't want to play as elves, Steve? Or do you mean you don't want to play against them? Because clearly everyone wants to play as an elf, because they're the best. Apart from Empire. But you can see why you wouldn't want to play against them, because some people take loads of bows.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, me? Oh, I know.
The high elf army that had more bows than a wood elf army.
Yeah.
Because all the core units were Loth and Sea Guard. Yeah,
that's the way to roll.
Speaking of dwarves, when I was looking for these facts, I was trying to find out if there was like a Christmas-like festival that happens in the Warhammer world. And there's some winter festivals, like there's a winter solstice festival in the Empire and things like that, but nothing really similar. And I thought there might be, because like in 40K, you have things like the Council of Nicaea and sort of similar sort of Christian related things happening, but there wasn't anything in the old world. But I did discover that the most Santa Claus like race are the dwarves, because
you discovered that I bet you put a lot of research into that.
it's not just the beards and what have you, but it's because they're making a list and they're checking it twice and they're going to find out who's naughty and nice.
Very good, Mr. Wadsley. Is their grudge book actually just the list, Santa's list?
And lumps of coal are quite important to elves, as they are to naughty children. The parallels never end. It's not, DR says it's the beards. I mean, it is the beards, but it's also the lumps of coal and the grudge list. So yeah, it's not the good list and the naughty list anymore. It's the grudge list. So make sure you tell your kids.
You're going in the book.
To be fair, my kids sort of turn into slayers sometimes, so fairly accurate. Come on, what's the next?
Just because of the ginger hair, or
well, and the wanton destruction.
All right, the next fact. Now, this is just a Warhammer fact. This is just something that I thought was interesting. I think we've spoken about this before, actually. I think we might have known this one. But when the Citadel armor painting team started using Agrax Earthshade for the first time, it was when the War of the Ring first came out. And when they had to paint the armies, it was Chris Peach and Nick Baton who were painting them. And they got through a 2.5-liter can of Agrax Earthshade each a week painting those armies.
What the hell? That's nuts.
I can believe that, because I painted a War of the Ring Orc army and used a lot of Agrax Earthshade. Or Devlan Mud.
Was it
Devlan Mud then?
Oh, yeah, no, it was Devlan Mud then. Yeah.
Devlan Mud. It was nominated for Staff Member of the Year. It was awesome. A dwarf would never be seen dead in a chariot. But what about a sleigh?
Mm-hmm.
The Norse dwarves might be seen in a chariot. You never know. A sleigh, rather.
Well, they wouldn't be seen, because they wouldn't come up above the sides, would they?
Real small. Or by guinea pigs or something.
All right, what have I got next?
You wrote these facts. What are you doing?
I'm trying to find them.
Lost them.
Yeah, I've lost them. You guys will have to talk to amongst yourselves whilst I find them. Oh, here we are. I found them. This is one for you, Dan, this one. And this is a 40K fact. This is... The shape of the Astartes power pack was designed as a high-tech visual counterpart to a Napoleonic soldier's bedroll and equipment pack.
Ah, that's cool. Yeah, you can see that as well.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. And another 40K one is that Chaos squats were a thing to go alongside the Chaos dwarves.
Yeah, I don't remember those, but I remember seeing pictures of them in an old white dwarf.
I got a fact about the Slann. Do you remember the Slann models that were like upright frogs? And then like in the lore, you'd read battles about them like running across the battlefield and leaping and jumping. And obviously now they're all old and they couldn't do it. But they did have warbands in Rogue Trader, and they could carry crossbows and las cannons because they were in both games. Which I thought was quite
cool. That sounds very... very much like the old days.
And my last one is that games design legend Jervis Johnson and Rick Priestley were responsible for designing many of the challenges in the first few series of the television show The Crystal Maze.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool. That was a great show.
I used to love watching The Crystal Maze, but what you can watch on YouTube is there's some videos of The Crystal Maze like being watched, and you get the earpiece for the presenter, whichever one it might have been at the time. And people go into the puzzles and they just don't get them, and they just start like tearing the set apart, and then in the earpiece just go, "Oh, what is he doing? I spent ages making that." And all stuff like that going on, which I think was quite cool.
Do you know what is really good if you want to get your Crystal Maze fix at the minute? The Floor is Lava.
The Floor is Lava!
Yes. That's a great show.
It's not that good, though, is it?
It's good enough.
It's funny. The best bit, right, and I fell for this as well, is when they fall in the lava, it's edited so that they just disappear. They're just gone. They just go underneath and that's it. And I even looked up on Google. I was like, where do they go? And it was like trending in Google as well. But people were looking up like, where do the people go in the floor? And people were like, oh, there must be like scuba divers underneath.
Scuba
pulling them away, or the little trap doors. It's brilliant. It is funny.
I've never seen that. I'll have to watch.
Yeah,
it.
Netflix, I think.
Get on the Netflix. It's brilliant.
I've got one more. I didn't know I had one more. I'm finding them all now. Archeon the Everchosen was once a Templar of the Knightly Order of the Twin-Tailed Orb, an order that was devoted to Sigmar, and he was brought up by a local Sigmarite priest after he was abandoned by his father.
Oh. See,
it all went downhill from there.
That's a little bit like the old Anakin Skywalker goings on, isn't it? Do you reckon that priest and Obi-Wan Kenobi are the same person that crossed between worlds?
There is a little bit of that, isn't there? Like when the Skaven contact Eldar or something, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, there's been little things. I remember a great book. I think it was in the Zavant book or something, and there was a sorcerer of Tzeentch who summons a disc of Tzeentch, and it takes him on this wild ride, and it goes up into the warp, and then it pops out of these warp portals, and there are giant robots with laser guns on their arms shooting armies of superhumans, and it's like blatantly Titans. All this random stuff.
That's very cool. All right, so I think that is... We've been going... Just coming up for 45 minutes. So I think that's probably just about time for us. I mean, we spoke a bit about the old world, didn't we? We said there's no set format. We're just going to have a bit of a laugh. But I think we will call it there. But thank you very much, everyone who joined us. Thank you, everyone who left a comment. We do wish you all a very Merry Christmas. And the old world show will be back in the new year. And we will try our best to film some of the games that we've been playing. And I think it was on my New Year's resolutions, like the beginning of the year, to film a battle report. And it's taken me until now to play a game. But we seem to have hit our stride. We've remembered the rules now, which is a start, isn't it? All right. So thank you again, everyone. And Merry Christmas. And we will see you in the new year.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Bye.